reaching towards the flame. We journey to our home again, like flowers open to catch the sun. Our minds are open to see the one. To have you is the sweetest thing to feel. You are our everything. Oh, Baba. Dearest Baba. You came to this darkest night. You gave us back our inner sight. You found us broken and full of shame. You gave us back our crowns again. To have you is the sweetest thing to feel. You are our everything. Oh, Baba. Dearest Baba.
Wasn't the song beautiful? Baba, you are my everything. And one of the lines that touched the heart was, dearest Baba. Nearest and dearest Baba. And I felt that, you know, throughout most of my life, having been with the daddies and observed them, there's one trait they all share. And this is what makes a daddy a daddy. And that is belonging. Everyone feels they belong to them, and they feel they belong to everyone. And I think this is the deepest call of the human spirit, the desire to belong. And yet in the journey of belonging, finishing all longing is the key. Making Baba your world and making Baba your everything. And that's what the daddies represented, which is what enabled them to embrace the world and the world to embrace them. You know, in Pandav Bhavan, before Gyan Sarovar was built and Shantivan, in the mornings we would pile into Daddy Kumarka's room, then Daddy Gulzar's room, and they'd be putting their sari on, getting dressed. And it's a little bit like in bhakti, you know, when you go to the temples and they're dressing the idols and the deities. It's almost like their sense of belonging to Baba just made them so inclusive in every area of their life. And so you could watch every act of theirs without them feeling body conscious, like, you know, oh well, we've just come out of the shower, we're getting dressed, do you mind? We need some privacy. This would be the normal reaction. But for them, in that feeling of belonging, there's no sense of privacy. It's quite remarkable. And today, I mean, you know, part one was very good for me because I actually had a chance to study in depth certain subtle dharanas that are required or develop when we stay close to Baba. And today, more started bubbling out. And so, the first place I want to start is this whole thing of altruism. You know, one of my experiences of Daddy Janki and Daddy Kumarka and Daddy Gulzar, in particular these three, and all the daddies actually, is just their pure-heartedness in everything. And to live in Sangam Yoga means to make the effort to live on Baba's heart throne. And if I'm not experiencing being on Baba's heart throne, then I need to check what kind of effort am I making. And I think accompanied with that is the development of a very pure heart, an altruistic heart. You call it selfless, free from desires, whatever other language, but the word altruism was very strong for me. And I was just reflecting on some of the stories that I've heard about Daddy, or I've heard Daddy share. And there were three particular stories that stood out for me in this whole development of an altruistic attitude, pure-heartedness, that has no knowledge of desire. So it goes even beyond being sincere. Yeah. And one of the first stories was the story that she used to tell when in the early days in Karachi, when they'd moved, and they were all in different bhavans because the law didn't allow them to stay together as a community. And so Baba was allowed to stay with his family and a few brothers. And then Mama and some of the daddies and the Kumaris stayed. And then they put Daddy Janki in Bal Bhavan. And Bal Bhavan was where all the children were. And there was this kind of old Mataji who was a little bit cranky in her nature. And Daddy Janki was put there, away from all the other daddies. And so she felt it a bit. Why am I here in Bal Bhavan with this cranky old mother and these kids, and I want to be with Mama and the other daddies? They're all having chit-chats. And so one day, she told Mama this. And Mama said to her, but you are Janak, aren't you? And Janak is the Videhi trustee, the bodiless trustee. And Daddy said, from that moment on, all resistance she'd felt to being in Bal Bhavan finished. She accepted where she was. And she developed such a good friendship with this Mataji, that many of the sisters commented that not many people can get on with her. How do you get on with her? And I remember that story touched me very much because I realized that, you know, this whole stage of being a bodiless trustee, where nothing is mine, and then whatever I'm given in trust to look after, allows all of my specialities and qualities to be used in that moment. If I'm not a bodiless trustee, maybe there's some form of desire, what I want to get done there, maybe I want to be somewhere else. And it just means that all the hidden specialities and qualities in the soul can't emerge. And that was one of the first lessons, I think, the lesson of deep acceptance. Acceptance is created when I let go. I let go and I allow myself to be a bodiless trustee, so that all my resources suddenly become available to enrich the situation I'm in, enrich wherever I am. And so I just want you to take a moment and just reflect in your own life right now. Is there any situation you're in where you may need to practice being more of a bodiless trustee? And just for a few moments, step into that stage. And feel how it will change your response to the situation you're in. Many times I get asked the question about procrastination. Why is it that sometimes we delay, or there's a laziness and the task gets delayed and you just keep putting it off? And I remember this one moment with Daddy, that when there's a subtle form of my anywhere, where I've owned something, a task, or my own specialities, or my own ideas, then not only will there be a sense of force and pushiness, but there'll also be the opposite, which is a sense of procrastination. Oh well, don't really want to do that, let's leave it. The position of a trustee means that the moment something is required, it's given attention. And I remember this was a time in London, and Daddy was coming back and forth from Madhuban. And after Murali, she'd read Murali giving class, and there was a few of us sitting in the chairs in the auditorium waiting for her for some meetings and business. And then it came to my turn and I sat with her, and in those days I have a legal background, and so I was supporting some policy writing and documentation for the Yagya. And, you know, it's hard work. You have to go into the depth of the law, the legal principles. You then have to write. And every word you have to take care of. And so I was just sharing some news with Daddy. And then she said, "So is there anything else you want to tell me?" And I said to her, "Yes, Daddy, you know, I have to write this public benefits policy. And, you know, I didn't come to Baba to do this. I don't want to use my intellect in all of this. It's so complicated. And, you know, I have to give so much time and attention to it." And she looked at me with such a stern eye. And you know, it was very difficult for me to write that paper. I kept resisting. Every time I'd sit down to write it, something in me would say, mm-mm. And so I said to her, I don't want to use my intellect like this. And she looked at me and she said, who said it was your intellect anyway? And in that moment, she just pushed me right out of the way. And it was like I'd just been straightened out. And I remember this because I walked straight into the office, and in half an hour, I typed up a 3.5-page public benefits policy. And I realized how easy life becomes when you get out of the way. You know, this whole sense of having to use my intellect for something, my resources for something, my ideas for something, that extra pressure creates resistance. And the release of that just allows Baba to be Karan Karavanhar and to accomplish things through you. And so these were powerful defining moments of acceptance, deep acceptance of being Nimit, an instrument, and releasing this sense of ownership and of being a bodiless trustee. And the second story, and this is all under the umbrella of altruism, because I really feel on this Brahmin journey, you know, Daddy's principle, right until the end, she had this slogan. In Hindi it said, Sachai Safai Sadgi. In English, it's translated as honesty, cleanliness and simplicity. And those were her benchmarks. And that kind of heart that is so pure and altruistic, it can stay close to God very, very easily. And Baba's mercy just flows through. And the second story is when she told us of a time where her chariot wasn't well and Baba had invited her to Madhuban. And she'd come to Madhuban and she'd spent 40 days facing Dharamraj. That was her practice in those 40 days. She had a 40-day tapasya, yog tapasya bhatti, to face Dharamraj. And during that period of time, she had the experience of releasing burden of a lot, a burden of sinful actions, burdens of the past, and clearing her accounts with Dharamraj. You know, many times Daddy would say to us, give yourself time. Time to do what? Time to clean. Time to reconcile yourself with Dharamraj so you can finish the excuses of the many different stories we've created in our heads. You know, there's already a story around us. And then we have to create another story about the story that's happening. And it's an excuse and a reason to prolong only suffering, nothing else. And so I realized that, you know, one of Daddy's, observing Daddy close up, she didn't entertain any stories. She would call them excuses. I would say stories. You know how we start spinning a story? Well, there's a reason for this. There's a reason why this is happening. And I think this account that she cleared with Dharamraj powerfully helped her in the practice of applying the full stop. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what your life story is. It does not matter. You have to apply a full stop and move on. I remember Brother Neville. Some of you may know him. He's Baba's journalist brother, old brother in Gyan, from the early 80s in the UK. And we were here in Madhuban, and he was interviewing Daddy Ratan Mohini, and I was translating. And he was telling Daddy, sharing his life story. He said, Daddy, I've been a Brahmin for over 35 years. And only just in the last year and a half, I've realized that I am a soul. And now I've been wondering, what have I been doing all these years, for 35 years? Why has this realization only come now? And he was going on and on and on about this. And Daddy was just listening. And then when he finished, Daddy said to him, "So have you realized you're a soul?" He said, "Yes." And she said, "Okay, full stop, now move on." So, you know why I shared the story? Because it was so hilarious in that moment. The tendency to want to rest on your past in some way. You either tell a story about what you've done, you tell a story about how you've realized something, you tell a story about this, you tell a story about that. Well, take the nugget out of it. Put a full stop to the rest. Take the realization and move on. And that's how you consistently stay a learner. And this is what I loved about the daddies, is they never rested on any laurels. You know, that's an expression in Hindi. They're not resting on anything. Any achievement of the past or their history or whatever, their time with Sakar Baba. Yes, Daddy's aim definitely was to give us the sustenance that Baba gave her. But she never rested in the story. It was always what I've learnt from Baba and taken that on board and recreated herself through those learnings. And it keeps the soul young. It keeps the soul humble. And it keeps the soul fresh. So that was the second one, the whole thing of cleaning my account, finishing the story. It's very important on the journey of being pure-hearted. And then the third thing, you know, a big part of purity is benevolence. So much is connected with the quality of purity. Benevolence, mercy, compassion. And when I say benevolence, there's a sense of a feeling of generosity, a feeling of softness, a feeling of abundance, a feeling of giving. It's just a feeling of wanting everything that is good for everyone. And it was a story that Daddy had shared about how, and I think this was in Bombay, that Baba used to frequently come to Bombay. And after breakfast, after class one day, Daddy was having breakfast and Baba arrived. And Baba said to Daddy, "Have you served anyone before having your breakfast?" And this hit Daddy very much inside. And from that day on, every day after morning murali, Daddy would go to the Hanging Gardens and she would find someone or another to share gyan with, then she would come back and have breakfast. And I realized that there's this, you know, we talk about bringing health to something, making something healthy. Well, you only make something healthy when you put something in and you create circulation. You know, health isn't about focusing on your body all the time and the needs of your body. It has a lot to do with an attitude of benevolence, staying benevolent and generous, where you are giving something first. And I feel that's so important in developing an altruistic attitude. Have I given gyan? Have I shared something that's uplifted someone today? Or have I just spent my day meeting my own needs? How much of my day has been spent benevolently? And that was a conscious effort. It's not that you wait for somebody to give you a service role, you wait for somebody to tell you what to do, but it's a proactive step from the side of the soul to exercise the deity inside. And so these were three things that for me were very important in cultivating altruism. Because to stay close to the one that is ever pure, I have to make myself ever pure. And so the bodiless trustee, creating acceptance, facing Dharamraj, stop finishing the story, putting a full stop. And the third aspect, benevolence. How much of my time, energy, resources are being used benevolently? So I just want to take a moment now and just do an altruism check inside. In part one, I talked a lot about attentiveness. One of the main criteria, attention on Baba. Because as we know, where attention goes, energy flows. You create a bond with whatever you pay attention to. And in particular, I was remembering a particular story with Daddy Gulzar. And I think this was, I'm not sure what year, but it was when little Mahini Ben of Madhuban left her body. And before she passed, 3 weeks before she passed away, Daddy Gulzar had had her first incidence of water in her lungs. And so she'd been taken to Ahmedabad Stirling Hospital. And I was in Greece at the time. And 3 weeks later when I'd heard of the incident of Daddy going into hospital. We'd started having yoga after class for her. And then 3 weeks later, when I heard that little Mahini Ben had passed away, I decided to come to Madhuban because I've had a very old childhood connection. And I just came for 4 days. One day travel, and then one day Madhuban, one day the funeral. And then the next day I was on my way out. And I stopped in Ahmedabad to meet Daddy Gulzar. By that time, she was already in the center. And Neelu Ben said to me, go and entertain her. And I thought, you know, she was sitting alone in the room. I thought, how am I going to entertain this Daddy? She's not really interested in news of the world or any gossip or anything like that. So what shall I talk about? And so I said, okay, I thought, well, let me talk about Baba, because that's her world. So I said to her, I said, Daddy, you've been through all this, you've had water in your lungs, they put, you know, things in you to drain the water out of your lungs and whatever. Where is Baba in all of this? Does he come? And she said, yes, Baba comes. And I said, well, what does he do when he comes? And, you know, I was expecting her to say, well, you know, he comforts me, massages me, gives me love. And she said, yes, he comes, and he comes in the form of a checker. I went, what? A checker? So what does he come to do? He comes to check your health, he comes to check your what? And she said, yes, he sees everything, he sees my health, but he comes to check where my attention is. Now, this is a daddy. Okay, you would say she's the chariot of Baba, she's going through a physical test paper. You would think at least God has some mercy to perhaps come as the comforter of hearts or the mother. No. Baba comes as the checker. He's checking, where is the child's attention right now? We know when we're talking about the destination of becoming Bab Saman, not like going to your auntie's home, God is very, very selfish. He requires full attention. And I was dumbstruck in that moment, and I'm thinking, but you're a daddy, and God is checking your attention levels? And then I said to her, you know, a lot of people nowadays ask, time is moving on and service is increasing and it's time, end times are near. What should we be paying attention to? Service, yoga, what should we be paying attention to? And she went quiet and she said, everything. And in that moment, it was like just a little window of realization opened where I felt like when there's that level of attentiveness in Baba, with Baba, you do become available to accomplish whatever's in front of you. You don't have to compartmentalize your life. But it allows Baba to remain Karan Karavanha with you in that moment. And that's how much is needed. You know, all the daddies have been through incredible test papers of their body. Because if there's one thing that does destroy altruism, it's body consciousness. You know, when people get sick, then thoughts come. What kind of thoughts come? Oh, who's going to look after me? You know, oh, I must, you know, how am I going to be supported financially? Brahmins have these thoughts. Center coordinators have these thoughts about their future. And immediately, in that kind of thinking process, you start to lose a level of that altruism. And I find it very interesting with Daddy, for example. And there's a number of different blessings that Baba has given Daddy in relation to her health and her body. If you look at Daddy, you know, from a very young age, she had a lot of problems, health problems, bronchitis, she had a cough, her best friend, and yet she lived to 104. In living to 104, it's not that she sat and did nothing. I mean, between 60 and 104, she helped service expand into 120 countries worldwide. Like, it was phenomenal. And so what was the secret of her longevity? And Baba would always remind Daddy to rest. Because Daddy's will and enthusiasm to bring benefit to others. But there's a number of different blessings I want to share with you before I kind of share a story, a personal story, that perhaps may illuminate what it takes to stay balanced on the field of service, especially in relation to your body. So this is a blessing that Baba gave on the 26th of February 1995. And Baba's telling Daddy, you are a conqueror of matter, are you not? It is the duty of matter to make you fluctuate. It is the duty of matter to make you fluctuate. And your duty is to shake matter. It is good. Because you don't take rest with love, you are made to rest with compulsion. It is just that she has a lot of love for service. She has such enthusiasm that no one should be left out, no one should be deprived. It is like that, is it not? And then Daddy said, Baba, you've made me sit with you. And Baba said, it is good. New inventions will be invented. It doesn't matter. You get a chance to rest so that you can make new plans. This is how you get new material. Such a beautiful take. Because Daddy's health in those times was up and down, up and down. And for Daddy to sit still for any length of time was not easy. And yet, Baba's saying that that rest is a time to create new inventions. And then, another blessing that Baba gave Daddy on the 9th of January, 97. And Baba's saying to her, you are making your body move with your own courage and everyone's blessings of cooperation. At the right time, the body cooperates. This is known as receiving extra help through blessings. You have to give the body a little rest. If you don't give it rest, it creates complications. When others want something, you give them that, do you not? Some want peace. Some want happiness, some want courage, and so you give them that. So give the body whatever it needs. It also needs something. This body is something valuable entrusted to you. You have to look after it. You are making it move along very well. With courage. And one more. This was a blessing Baba gave Daddy on the 15th of November 99. And Baba said, you are okay, are you not? But Dada had said, rest is best. Always remember this. There is service, but you people also have to stay in the front. The bodies of both of you are special. Your souls are special anyway, and your bodies are also special. You have everyone's blessings, but you still have to look after your body. Since you are the ones to make everyone content, then also make your body content. Just take a moment and just check in with your own body right now. To what extent have you learned the art of making your body content? Daddy would always share with us that she was moving along and getting healthy, 50% help from Shiv Baba, 45% blessings from everyone, and 5% medicine. That was her formula. And when you think about making the body content, there's a big difference between pleasing your body and making it content. You know, when you please somebody, or you please someone, what do? You give them facilities, you give good food. But whenever you please someone, are they ever happy? Not really. Short term, it's like you give them a little something, but they're not really happy. And so sometimes in the relationship with the body, we may give the body comfort and facilities and sadhan, you know, all kinds of things to please the body, but we're not making it content. And I was reflecting on this subject because I thought, what does it really take to make the body content? And I was remembering an incident when, this was about maybe about 10 years ago, 10, 11 years ago, and I was in India for a project, and I was in Madhuban off-season, and Daddy had fallen very sick. She'd had a chest infection, urinary infection, she'd lost her voice, her back was out, she had high blood pressure, she was on a drip, and we were taking turns being with her in her room all the time. And she would make a signal, don't let anybody leave, I'll give them drishti from the bed. So even whilst lying down, she'd be giving drishti to souls coming in. And I think it was at that time that Sister Gayatri had flown over from New York, because she was a bit afraid that, you know, Daddy's going to leave any moment. And after about a week in that condition, Daddy had enough strength to get up and sit on the sofa. And Sister Gayatri came in, and I was there with Daddy translating. And Gayatri Bhatt said to Daddy, Daddy, 1 minute you're on the verge of death. Next minute you're sitting on your sofa giving almonds. Where do you get your energy from? And Daddy just looked at her and said, Daddy knows a deep secret of the drama. Whatever has come has to go. And so Daddy just waits for it to go. And I was stunned by that response in that moment, because it deeply revealed to me the power of patience. This was one of Daddy's biggest strengths, the power of patience. In understanding the secrets of the drama, that whatever has come has to go, stay patient. And that way you can allow what needs to happen with the body, and you create a sense, a measured, how do you say, a sense of easiness inside. You know, so there's no extra thought, oh, I've gotten sick, oh, let me analyze my illness, let me analyze the medicine I have to take, let me go read up about it. No. Whatever has come has to go. So just wait for it to go. And that's so beautiful, because for me, that level of patience is the bedrock for tolerance and contentment, for allowing Baba's love to reach the vehicle, to heal whatever needs to be healed, and for me to really make this body content. The power of patience is a very deep subject. And when I think of the two powers that have particularly helped Daddy in becoming a conqueror of matter, it's the power of patience and the power to adjust. No complaints. Whether she has one chapati, that's all that's there, she'll eat it. Whether it's anything, there's no complaint. Why isn't there this? There could be more of this. No, none of that. And I realized that when there's a deep, and we cultivate a very relaxed and peaceful state of mind, because we know the drama is intelligent. It will bring something and take it away. And I'm able to flow with the drama to develop that patience. It's almost like then I can start to enable everything in my life to be used in a worthwhile way. Everything will be used in a worthwhile way when there's the power of peace and patience. And that was one of the secrets that Baba had shared with Daddy, that in order to become a conqueror of matter, you have to use everything in a worthwhile way. And it's not something where you sit and make a plan of how to use everything. It's a very deep, subtle state of attitude where you put yourself in a place of peace and synchronicity with the drama and with Baba, that enables your thoughts, your words, and your resources to be used in the most benevolent way possible. So the relationship with the body and looking after the body, and especially in these times now when karmic accounts are being settled at such a fast speed, because there isn't a finale moment and no accounts can be taken over. Even Baba has to give us the return of everything that we have done, perhaps in service. The accounts have to finish. And there was a Murli in which Baba had once spoken, where Baba had talked about the storms of untimely death being the reason and the method by which karmic accounts get settled. Because karmic accounts get settled through a quick death and a quick birth. You know, Baba talks about the jail of the womb, where your karmic accounts are settled, and a quick death. And so many storms from time to time in the world you'll see, maybe an earthquake or the Bhuj, a natural disaster that happened. And these are storms of untimely death that are instrumental in helping to finish karmic accounts. Because as we come to the finale moment, no, nothing of anybody's account can be taken over into the next birth. And so, of course, one of the mechanisms that we also settle accounts is through our bodies. And yet, our attitude to our bodies can either enable us to settle it very easily with happiness and a sense of, with feeling of being blessed, or painfully, suffering. And a lot of it depends on how much power of patience and tolerance I've developed inside to be able to keep myself content. And then, on a last note, I want to talk about relationships. Very rarely, I think in my own life, has Daddy ever asked me, how are you? You know, her drishti was like her laser beam. She could scan you in seconds with her drishti. Sometimes people would complain, oh, Daddy, you don't give me drishti whilst I'm taking toli. And I would say to them, it's great she's not giving you drishti. It means you're okay. You know how sometimes on these aeroplane screens you have this radar, and then if there's something wrong, there's a red dot that comes, and so then you know there's something wrong? So I said, well, if there's something wrong, then her drishti hones in on you, because it's something on the radar screen. So it's fantastic. It means you're already merged in her awareness. So it's great she's not giving you drishti. Because drishti isn't something that's physical eyes. Drishti has a deep connection with smriti, awareness. And when you're merged in Baba's remembrance, you will experience a oneness. You're merged in an awareness that's bigger than the limited eyes and the limited hand-giving. And I realized that one of the, well, I will call it a no-interference policy. Because, you know, it was quite remarkable to watch how Daddy supported and everyone's spiritual journey, but didn't interfere into anyone's karmic accounts. And that's a fine line. you, especially when you're in a position of responsibility, you're a teacher, you're teaching. And I guess the story that came to mind that hit that aspect home for me was it was a retreat we were at. It was a retreat for executives. And Brian Bacon, some of you may know him, who's developed the self-managing leadership program quite a few number of years ago, maybe 20 years ago. He was one of the co-facilitators of that retreat, and Daddy was the spiritual resource. And so one evening in that retreat, Brother Neville, our wonderful brother journalist, was interviewing Daddy and Brian, and I was translating. And Neville said to Daddy, "Daddy, you've known Brian for 25 years now. Tell us what his speciality is." And Daddy started to say, "Well, you see, Brian is playing his part. Whatever he's received from the Supreme, he's sharing that. I'm sure all of you have benefited from it." And then Neville stopped Daddy and said, "But Daddy, can you answer the question? Can you tell us Brian's speciality is this?" And in that moment, Daddy said, "Why should Daddy interfere when someone is playing their part? You are seeing Brian playing his part. His speciality is being revealed. If today Daddy tells Brian what his speciality is, then tomorrow Brian will have permission to tell Daddy what her weakness is, and Daddy doesn't want to enter into games of relationship like this." Do you understand? It's very subtle. The recognition that every soul is playing their part, good or bad. There is no need for me to intervene, to comment, to praise, to judge. Because you end up creating a very subtle dynamic of familiarity. And eventually, that subtle dynamic of familiarity, where you draw someone's attention to something, you know, someone's playing their part naturally. If they're playing it naturally, Karan Karavanhar Baba will be visible. And the moment at a very subtle level you draw their attention to something, then suddenly it's like a very subtle form of eye develops, and the person is praised and Baba is lost. So it's such a deep aspect inside to keep yourself in that awareness that every soul is playing their part. Baba knows what to do with every soul. When you rest in that deep trust and faith, then you will never worry about anything, and you will never interfere or take on the burden of anybody's karmic accounts. To either try to rescue them, save them, and then, you know, it comes under the banner, "Oh, I'm sustaining them." Because it's a form of subtle ego. You've got one aspect of the ego, which is arrogance. You've got the other aspect of the ego, which is unworthiness. I'm not good enough. And then you've got this very slippery dynamic of the ego, which is being the rescuer. And actually what you're doing is maybe interfering in the dynamics of someone else's karmic account, which is none of your business. So some powerful lessons from the dharanas of these daddies that for me are a reminder as to what it takes to really stay close to Baba and be a true-hearted instrument for Baba and to become Bab Saman. And of course, there are are many, many stories. But maybe I'll share one last one and then we'll call it an evening. I think in part one I talked about the proof of love is to finish waste. And being with Daddy was definitely zero waste at all levels. And I learnt a powerful lesson one time. We were here in Madhuban, and in those days, and this is maybe going back about 25 years ago. And in those days, it was Gyan Sarovar had newly been opened, and there were conferences, the different wings, and they were having conferences. And then, you know, Shantivan was being constructed, and we would go up and down the mountain, maybe three or four times a day. Daddy would do Murli class downstairs, have breakfast, come up, do a class here, and then go down for lunch, have a rest, and then come up again for evening class, and then go down again. And so on one particular day, it must have been our third time going down the mountain. And we were sitting in the back seat of the car, and Daddy was here, and she had her reading light, and she was reading some emails on her, I think it was a BlackBerry in those days. And she had something to drink in her other hand. And I was sitting next to her, and I was starting to feel nauseous and giddy, because, you know, my stomach wasn't doing so well going up and down the mountain too many times a day. So I was sitting with my head back. And then, a little bit into the car journey, Daddy says, "Gopi, pull out your notebook and pen. I'm going to dictate to you some responses." And I thought, oh no, you know, I feel so sick. If I look down, I'm going to start to vomit. But I did that. I pulled out the notebook and pen, and I wasn't feeling well. Nausea was building. And I suddenly had this sensation starting. So I told the driver to stop the car. And I said, "Just stop the car, wherever it is." And he pulled over. I got out of the car, and I took a few deep breaths. He had half a lemon. I took a few drops of lemon and just composed myself so that I wouldn't, you know, do something that would embarrass me. And so after about 5 minutes, I'd composed myself and I got back in the car. And she turned round and looked at me, put her spectacles down and looked at me, and she said, "That shouldn't happen to you." And I just looked at her, and I just put my hands together and I said, "You know what? If it was a normal person, they would ask me, 'Are you okay? Do you want a glass of water? Can we do something for you?' But you say to me, 'This shouldn't happen to you.' You're like 4 decades older than me. You eat, you drink, you talk in the car. Nothing happens to you. Why does it happen to me?" You know, it was like a little moment of this child, indignant child, going, "What? Give me some love." And in that moment, I said to her, "But, you know, you eat, drink, do everything. And you don't even ask me if I need a glass of water. So why doesn't it happen to you? Why does it happen to me?" And she smiled and she said, "Do you want to know?" I said, "Yes, please." And she said, "You people waste your time and energy in small, small ways of small, small things." She said, "What were you doing at lunch? You were sitting with Praveena and you were talking about unnecessary things. Daddy caught the vibration." "Okay, yes, Daddy." And she said, "All of these little moments of wastage accumulate as a burden inside the soul. And so then you have to suffer in ways like this." Because in Hindi it's like bhogna pratha. You have to settle that burden. And so then you have to settle that through the body in small, small ways like this. You may wake up in the morning, you may feel uneasy, not so well today, mood off. You're climbing some stairs, you suddenly feel dizzy. And so, you know, in those moments we think, oh, it's just physical. But we don't realize that it's the byproduct of an accumulated burden of waste. I honestly could have hugged her in that moment. This was Daddy's love. It wasn't a love that was a superficial love. it was a very, very truthful and knowledge-based love that allowed somebody to be liberated from the deception of their own condition in that moment. And that's what I deeply, deeply appreciated that particular soul for, and the role that she played in my life as a very, very truthful friend. And to finish off with, you know, I said to her, "Daddy, I love you." And she said to me, "Baba loves you." Okay. Thank you. No. So let's take the fragrance of these wonderful learnings and memories from our precious ancestor souls and allow that to filter into our lives.